Getting Back Out There, part funded by the National Lottery Community Fund, looking at the challenges and experiences of blind and partially sighted people in rural and isolated communities in Scotland.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. RNIB Scotland is running a project called Getting Back Out There. Its aim is to provide more advice and a support network for blind and partially sighted people in rural areas in Scotland. Joining me today is Lorna Small from Flora. Lorna, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So, first of all, if you could paint a picture for us of what it's like living in Broda as somebody with sight loss.
I was born in Broda as well, and I went to uni from Broda to Edinburgh, and then we came back to live in Broda in the 70s. I'm used to the village anyway, although we've seen a lot of changes. But 10 years ago, I noticed that I was seeing lampposts bending over, and I said to my husband, "There's something wrong with these lampposts," and he said, "No, they're okay." So I went to the optician, who immediately phoned Redmore, and that was the start of it. That was 10 years ago, and I had wet macular degeneration and also two cataracts to get removed. I think it was about 9 years ago, a group started up for AMD, and we had about 15 then, but now we've got much less. I don't know, it's finding difficulty to recruit people to come. I mean, I do appreciate that a lot of people don't want to do that, but those of us who do come, there's about 11 of us in all, I think, and we all enjoy it because we find out about the latest developments, etc. One problem is the distance, which of course applies to anybody who lives this far. Well, we're about 116 miles round trip from going for our eye injections. I go every 8 weeks. It can be difficult. I'm lucky enough that my husband drives me there, but there are a few people, ladies usually, in my group, of this the group that meet here, the Broda EMD, and they've got trouble getting there because the trains or buses aren't always at the right time, and there is a community car in Broda, but there is a great lack of drivers for it.
You mentioned they're knowing the village very well. Do you think that had a big impact when you were diagnosed with macular degeneration, that knowing the village as well as you didn't have a hand in making still being able to get out and about a little bit easier? And what has support been like from family and friends? You've already mentioned your husband driving being a big help.
I mean, I have friends going a wee back to when I was in primary school here. And then with the meeting once a month, this EMD group that we are, Broda. And then the Heritage is helpful as well. Broda's just opened a new Heritage Centre. We got a million or so, I think, from different organisations. So it just opened, I thought, maybe 6 months ago. The museum's not open, but there's a group called Blethers that meet there, and it's all mostly local people, but not all. And so we talk about, usually it ends up in the old days, and look at old picture photos and so on. I go to a PE class every week, and I meet my friends there, and also a singing group in the Heritage.
So it sounds like that in Broda, there's certainly lots to do to keep you going and keeping a pretty strong support network around you as well.
Yes, unfortunate. Yeah,
when you are going further afield, is it a case of your husband will drive you, or have you ventured out onto public transport?
Certainly have recently, because I have a sister who's in a home in Edinburgh, and I just 3 weeks ago went to Edinburgh. I went to Glasgow first by train. My husband wasn't able to drive that length. Unfortunately, I've got a son who works in Strathclyde Uni, so he met me there and took me to Lanark. I went on the train myself from Lanark into Edinburgh, where my sister is in a home there. So I managed that fine, yeah. The odd problem with the railways, you know, where you put your ticket into the, sometimes that didn't seem to work. I don't know if it was my fault or theirs. But I had laser treatment a long time ago, and that fairly helped me, because as long as they manage to keep this leaking business from getting into my eye, I go every 8 weeks. I see very well out of one eye. They don't treat the other eye. because it was too late. But yes, I managed fine.
RNIB Scotland are holding an event around the country where they're bringing together people and services, provide advice for people in a similar boat to yourself in perhaps a rural or isolated part of the country. Do you think that that is something that Blind and Partially Sighted people in these rural areas could benefit from?
Yes, I must have great praise for Ian White. He did come up and talk to our group, and it was really good. That was our NIB. We're too so far away that they don't, it's not so easy to get speakers. We have had speakers, not always though. We just chat otherwise I look up the latest developments, because there are developments in the treatment of it, and I tell them about that. But, the Macular Society has had a big structure changes. Now there is only one person who is in charge of Scotland for our groups. So our chances of getting somebody up from there have gone. We used to be able to get them up every now and then to talk to us, but I don't think so much now. But they are trying to help. They've got volunteer groups, like what you're saying the RNIB would do. It would be good, but it's usually Inverness, isn't it? And it's difficult to get a group of us to Inverness. We have a minibus for the village, yes, but again, we have no drivers for them. And then you might say, well, it could be on Zoom. I often thought that because I'm on Zoom all the time with my son, two sons. But quite a few of the ladies that are in this group, they can't do that. They can't even go on a computer. Like, it's a problem for us.
And you've got the connection aspect of being in person as well.
That's right. And people, it costs charities up something to come up here as well. I understand that. And we do try to get speakers. We've had one on mediation. We've had one from the Heritage, of course. And we've had a lady from Rigmore that came. She was the eye liaison officer. And different ones like that. But we understand the problem for many for them as well. So
my final question for you, Lorna, is a simple one. Have you got any advice for anybody, perhaps in a similar situation to yourselves, or maybe they've recently been diagnosed with an eye condition? Any advice at all?
Well, it's not the end of the world, certainly, because I know people will panic, thinking, oh, this is me, I'm going to lose my sight. Because by the end, even with wet macular, there is treatment for wet macular. At the moment, they're developing treatment for dry, but not to panic, because there are institutions and societies, as you said, like RNIB and the Macular Society are very good if you phone them up with help. Yes, we do have that, so we're very fortunate. But it's definitely not to panic, just find out about these help calls that you can have and befrienders as well.
Lorna Small, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
I hope it'll help anybody who is worrying about it.
Getting Back Out There, part funded by the National Lottery Community Fund, looking at the challenges and experiences of blind and partially sighted people in rural and isolated communities in Scotland. Find us on social media at RNIB Scotland.